Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is 1 Samuel chapter 16, and there are 23 verses in this chapter, and we have a couple of letters here, good letters of people that have received the powerful messages written that the Lord has given me, and I'm anxious to hear them myself. We get so many of them that we can only put two of them on per evening. But people that are getting the series, you'll hear them all. That day by day. So let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this chapter 16 and the letters and everything, all the commentaries, everything that's done on this tape. We ask, Father God, that you anoint it with your Spirit. Make everything that is said, let it be directly 100% from the throne of God by the Spirit. Open up every spirit, the mind, to receive it. Lord, we are spirits in a jar of clay. Every one of us are like jars. And the real us is inside those clay or jars made out of the dirt of the ground. And our spirits are going to spend eternity someplace. And in order for our spirits to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven, we must be reunited with you on a daily basis. We must remain united with you all day long. You told us to pray without ceasing, and that means to communicate to you without ceasing. So, Father God, your word is spirit and it's life, and your word is you. And we know that you are the giver of life of yourself to our spirits. And without you in our spirits, we cannot enter heaven. And so it's the most important thing that we could ever do is to stay close to your spirit, to have our spirits seeking you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are a spirit, and those that are united with you must worship you in spirit and in truth. In other words, your word is truth. You are truth. Truth is not just a word, but it is a man, a body. It's you. And Lord, if we have you, the truth, we have all the riches of eternity in us now. And we are the sons of God. And all power is given unto us to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to heal the sick and afflicted, to tread upon serpents. Lord, we have power, all power, power over death. When this jar melts away that we're living in, we know that we shall be always alive in you and in the kingdom of heaven. When this jar of clay melts away, we know that we have you, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in you we are complete. You are the one who created everything that is seen and unseen. And without you there is nothing that was made. Lord, we don't need anything but you, because you are our everything. Anoint these words, Lord, and cause your anointing to draw us closer and more full of you, our life. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now we've got a couple of letters here from Suzanne. Well, that's not Suzanne. I've got bad eyes. What is your name?
Michelle.
Oh, yeah, it's Michelle every night. All right, go ahead and read it.
Okay. Dear Pastor Alamo, never has anyone's interpretation been so parallel to what the Spirit of Truth teaches me as your interpretation is. Why do people not understand that Romans 13 is speaking of authority that is ordained to the body of Christ? There are so many Bible translations that have decided to give that authority to carnal man that is ruled by Satan himself. Just as Satan attacked God's word in the Garden of Eden.
Now, do you think that God would give authority of this world? The Lord, when he gave Adam complete power and authority over the world, and that authority was lost when Adam's wife, which is Adam, sinned. But when Christ restores us, he enters into us, we now have power and dominion over the earth, over heaven and on earth. Because whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So that means that we are actually controlling that which goes on in heaven, according to God's word. Amen?
Amen.
So if we bind, we ask, Lord, bind all these Muslims that want to kill Christians and that want to kill all white people, and the lying that's saying that you're black and are saying all these false things and saying that they must murder people, which is totally contrary to your will. Your will is like if someone needs to be killed, you'll do it. You said vengeance is yours. But we now have the power and authority of that which is in heaven and on earth. And if we see things like this, if we let them go, whatsoever is loosed on earth shall also be loosed in heaven. If we as Christians don't pray about the things, the evil things that are going on in this earth, to bind them here on earth, then the Lord is going to let them be loosed in heaven and on earth here. Amen?
Amen.
So we have the power to control the events that are happening here on earth by simply praying, God, stop these people, these that want to murder. Stop, Father God, these, because you've given us the power of victory, and you've given us the clear channel to go before you in prayer, especially when it's things pertaining to your direct express will. Lord, it is your will that the kingdom of heaven be established here on this earth as it is in heaven. And so we ask that you bind these vicious black people, Lord, that say they're black Muslims and that all whites are got to be killed and so on. And Lord, we pray that you'll send your loving spirit to them and change your mind. I know I've won many of these black Muslims unto you, and you know that. And I know that many others have come to know your saving power and to know the power. But people, Lord, have, they learn that they have faith because they were saved, but they don't realize all the things that you've given them, us. We have power to control the things that are in heaven, right here on this earth. That whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we let go on and on and on here on earth shall be let to be gone, gone on in heaven. God will not bind it. So it's our responsibility, if we don't like things that are happening on this earth and we see that they're totally against God's will, that we have to preach the gospel and we have to pray to the Lord to stop it. Amen?
Amen.
And to give us the words that will cause people to be convicted for doing such things. Now this is the wisdom of the Lord. This is not me speaking. This is the Holy Spirit talking. Amen?
Amen.
In case you don't know it, I'll be the first one to tell you. Amen. And so we have power over death, hell, and the grave. We have power to not go to hell. We have the power to go to heaven. We're spirits. And so we have to think of ourselves as spirits. We can't be thinking of ourselves as natural, common fleshy bodies. These bodies are just containers that contain God. God made us in His image so that we could contain Him. If God looked like something else, we'd look like something else so that He could fit into us like a hand fits into a glove. Amen?
Amen.
God looks like us, or rather we look like God, and God made us that way so He could fit in to us as a hand fits into a glove. I think that's marvelous. Amen?
Amen.
And it's marvelous that we're spirits and that we're never going to die. But what a horrible thing to for our, this container that we're living in that looks like God to pass away or melt, and then the spirit was not ready to enter the kingdom of God, and there's no other place for it to go but hell and the lake of fire. So take heed that you don't just unite yourself with the Lord during a message like this, but pray always. Meditate on the Lord and be aware of the things that are going on in this world so that you can pray to the Lord to bind them. We bind them here on earth, Father, all these evil things that are going on, and we know that you cannot lie. You definitely are binding them in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And Lord, loose your church on this earth. Let us go forth. Let the kingdom of heaven be established here as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Because this is where it's all going to culminate right now. This is where the kingdom of heaven is being gathered together at this point. And there's no other way that God has it. He made it that way, and that's the way it is. God can pull the spirit, anyone's spirit, out of them at will. And so let's live our lives as though we were living the last minute. So we only had one more minute to live. Amen?
Amen.
If you live that way, you'll be all right when the time comes. All right, then what?
Just as Satan attacked God's word in the Garden of Eden, the devil's campaign is at large today.
Right, but why should we glorify the devil by saying that? Because we have power and dominion over the devil. And he doesn't have the power to call the shots in heaven as we do. And so all that can end if we just realize by the knowledge of the word of God the power we have. Amen?
Amen.
So he's running amok, and it's because Christians are afraid that the boogeyman or the devil will get them. And no, the devil had you, but the Lord has set you free to bind Satan. Amen?
Amen.
So bind him in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And bind the things that are evil here on this earth. Satan, his imps, and all the evil things that are going on in the name of Jesus so that God will bind them in heaven. Bind them here on earth. And let the things of God be loosed here on earth. Because we're living in the very last hours of time. The Lord's coming back. The knowledge of God is now known, is revealed now. And so that's the 10th chapter of Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
And the 11th chapter of Revelation is where the two witnesses appear. And, of course, before that, the plagues. Amen?
Amen?
So the plagues are upon us now. So, of course we see these things, and of course we have the power and dominion over them all. So the Bible tells us not to be troubled. The Lord tells us to be of good cheer, for He has overcome sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, death, hell, and the grave. And we are also victorious because He was in an earthly body, the Spirit of God, and now the Spirit of God is in our earthly bodies. We have the very same power. He said that we do. He even stated that greater things would we do after, because he goes to his Father. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to still be the Spirit, the power of God here on earth working. And God's will is that his power works in and through jars of clay that are shaped the same way that he looks. Amen?
Amen.
Human being. So, Christians, they say, well, we're saved and that's it. No, you have to realize the power you have. You have to start using it. Otherwise, the signs that follow Christians will not follow you. Okay? These signs shall follow those who believe. So the Lord, these false prophets are saying that there isn't anything that we have to do. We certainly have to allow the Lord to work in and through us. Amen?
Amen.
And chapter 7 of Romans tells us of Paul is making an arbitrary statement of this is the way I would be if I didn't have Christ. And even at the end of the chapter, he says, I thank God for Christ, that I'm not torn. There's this war that keeps trying to take my spirit to hell. I thank God in Christ that he's delivered me from this war, this battle, because the Spirit of God is so powerful that it gives you victory over that war, this sort, the temptations and the fightings and all the other things. The Spirit of God mortifies all the flesh. And he even states in the next verse, which happens to be chapter 8, verse 1. So there is no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those that walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus are free. They are perfect. If there's no condemnation, that means that you're perfect. Amen?
Amen?
There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, if there's no condemnation, you're not condemned. You're going to heaven. Yes? Okay? So, if you're going to heaven, you have to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Right there tells you that there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the law, because that is a law, to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation when you walk in the Spirit. So you're perfect. And some people say, well, you can't be perfect. You're calling the Bible, you're calling God, the Word of God, a liar. He says you're not condemned if you're in the Spirit. But if you walk according to the flesh, he that sinneth is of the devil. And he that walks in the Spirit cannot sin because he's perfect. He's not condemned. All sinners are condemned. Amen?
Amen.
So if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What about my wife? Can I? We have relationships? Of course. Because that's a commandment in the Bible. But you just can't have relationships with those outside of the marriage. Amen?
Amen.
So you're free to have relationships with your wife and your husband. Do benevolence if it's due. Oh, the Word of God is marvelous. Amen?
Amen?
Christ is marvelous. We don't need religion. We don't need Christianity. We need Christ only. The Bible doesn't say believe in Christianity and thou shalt be saved, does it?
No.
It says believe on Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, and you're saved. Believe on the Healer, and you're healed. And believe on Him who belongs all power in heaven and earth, and you have all power in heaven and earth. Believe it, and you're saved. Doubt it, and you're damned, if you doubt any of the Word of God. Now, continue on with the letter.
I thank you for telling the truth that God gave us with His Word. I pray that people on this earth are released from Satan's lies. 1 John 2:15 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right, they're walking according to the flesh, and there can't be perfect. And that's why all the ones that say you can't be perfect are the ones that are walking according to the flesh. They're not spiritual. Their spirits have not been resurrected yet. They're unsaved. And they don't know the power of God, and therefore they say no one can be perfect. Those are the only ones that are saying that. And some foolish people that are resurrected from the dead and don't know the Word of God, the knowledge of it, they get to believing these false things that these unregenerated, unsaved souls are telling them. But they're lying. And we need to tell them the truth. And we need to allow the Lord to work in and through us so that they can see that the Lord is alive in the vessels that He's made in His likeness and image. Okay, then go ahead.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Right, and the world is going to burn. Amen?
Amen.
And so the world is not, it's imperfect, it's far from perfect, but those that walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus are perfect. Because there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're perfect. Well, some people just look at you, like with an educational, carnal, natural look, because their natural mind can't comprehend spiritual things. They can't receive them because they're carnal. And they just, they're bored at such a statement as that. But to me, it's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Those that don't believe are not enthused at all about it because they doubt. And they're damned. Pity for such people like that. Okay, go ahead.
Just as the Prince of Tyrus in Ezekiel 28, the United States has become. As Jesus taught the disciples to pray in Matthew 6, His words ring in my ears, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Right. It's the power, the kingdom, and power and glory. Glory forever. Lead us not into temptation. So we will not be led into temptation if we're walking after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we will not be condemned. Because the Spirit of God in us mortifies our flesh and causes us not to be concerned about the desires of the flesh. Okay? And He takes us victoriously through the hour of temptation. And we're living in the hour of temptation now. And so if you want to be victorious over it, or if you just want to kick back and just let what you may call today the good times roll, you'll find if the Lord takes the Spirit out of you during the time that you have this attitude, you'll be thinking the good times roll. You will not be thinking about that any longer. It's not good times in the lake of fire. Okay? If we have the will to be perfect, we can be perfect, because the devil can't make us do anything that we don't let him do, make us do. Okay? You either do what the Lord says, or you're going to just do what the devil tells you. And he's working on your mind. He's always putting suggestions in there. It's your mind to the devil is like a suggestion box. So you have to take power. We have power and dominion over our mind if you have the Spirit of the Lord. To take the suggestions that He drops in there and rip them to shreds. Put them through the shredder. What I've done is set up a shredder at the beginning of my mind so that any foreign matter that comes in, any contraband, gets shredded immediately. All right, then what?
With God's grace and Jesus' sacrifice, I have been delivered.
She's right. God's grace is God's power. And not by power, man's power, or man's might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit is what makes you to where you no longer have any desires for the flesh. And the Spirit also is the one that makes you perfect by walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit makes it to where you're no longer condemned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's power. Only by God's power. Not by man's power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, is where you're going to overcome. And you'd better overcome, because it's for your very life, your very immortality. Because the old body is going to wear out. It gets feeble, it hurts and everything, but that Spirit is going on somewhere. It's never going to die. It's either going to be in torment forever in hell in the lake of fire, or it's going to be in peace, tranquility, and ecstasy throughout eternity in the kingdom of heaven. So you have the choice. You're a free moral agent. God never made us robots. You have to make the choice. And whether you like it or not, you're going to be standing before the throne of God one of these minutes, maybe seconds. And what you did in this human body, this vessel, this container that's shaped like God, that's what you're going to be judged. Your spirit is going to be judged for. And there better not be any taint, any spot, blemish, no sin on it at all. And if you have kept yourself clean and purged yourself with the Word of God and you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and you go and sin no more, because he that sins is of the devil, as the Bible says, you're going to enter right into the kingdom of God, and you're going to be safe forevermore. And that's a promise from God. God can't lie. Believe God's a liar?
No.
All men are liars, and women, but not God. God is the truth. That's all. Yeah, that's one of the things he is for sure, is the truth. And he's our life. Okay, then what?
I need to get some newsletters to mail to my family and friends in North Carolina.
Right, you need to get this. I would like to get this tape to her, too, because this tape is, she's going to hear her letter read on it. Amen?
Amen.
Or is it a woman?
We just have the initial here.
Okay, so woman or man, whoever. Okay, and then what else? It's a human spirit, amen?
Amen.
Then what else that's been regenerated and loves the Lord? Then go ahead.
Especially another Pearl Harbor and evil one world government agents are claiming to be U.S. agents. God bless all. W.K. from St. Brunswick, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. Okay, who's the other letter from?
It's from Swedru, Ghana.
It's Africa, okay.
Dear Pastor, I am very grateful and happy to write this letter to you. May God bless you for the good work that you are doing to help people in the globe to discover the wonders and works of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask the blessings of God to be upon you and enhance your work forever and ever. Amen. In fact, I am a very young Christian who has accepted Christ as my personal Savior and believe that it was my sins that he was killed or crucified for. In this sinless...
That's for sure. Amen. All Amen. People say, man, how could those Roman soldiers put the nails in his hands and feet and pierce him inside? That was us. Amen.
Amen.
Our sins did that. We're all guilty. And that's why we need to serve him. Amen.
Amen.
And show him our gratitude for having done that for us, because it was our sins that he died for, that put him to death. He gave us a second chance here. All right, then what?
If this sinless man has gone through all this predicament, plight, afflictions, etc., just to save my life from Satan...
And death. Okay, and then what else?
Then I have got a great task, to worship him and exalt his name to the highest point.
Yeah, but it's not really a task. It's like you're so gratified. It's such a glorious thing to know that he has forgiven you of your sins, and he's gone to hell for you, and he rose from hell and the grave, and now has ascended to heaven, now lives inside of us. And it's a labor of love, amen?
Amen.
No longer is a task. Why? Because the consolation is so incredible. Eternity in heaven, when the masses are going to be spending eternity in hell in the lake of fire, very few of us are going to be there. Very few. And judgment begins at the house of God. So we have to be careful to keep spotless, because we never know when the Lord's coming. He says he'll do it suddenly, and for sure is coming, and he'll do it as a thief in the night. And if a person knew when the thief was going to come, the thief couldn't make it in because you'd be on guard. But he comes when you least expect it, when you're in slumber. Take heed that you, you know, these are the warnings from the Lord. This is God speaking. And then what? Read his Bible, you'll see. Then what?
I am a student in one of the teachers' training colleges in Ghana, whom I soon become a trained teacher. Reading is my best hobby, so I try to read everything that comes my way, especially gospel tracts, since that will enhance and improve my knowledge about Christianity.
Well, yes, the knowledge of not Christianity, but Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's so many people that call themselves Christians that it's not funny. And Christianity didn't save your soul, but Christ did. And so we need to learn more about Christ, and we need to make sure that he's abiding within us and that we're in him. And Christ will guide you. Just keep reading the not for knowledge. And the Lord says, take heed what you hear, what you're reading. Don't read everything that comes your way. He says to redeem the time. Spend your time with the Lord. Because all the other things that you might be studying are of no very little profit to you, if any profit at all. Okay, then what else?
But it got to the point that I stopped reading tracts, incensed that the false prophets who have been sneaking into the fields that they deserve not to be in order to make money for themselves.
Not only money, they're sending, they're like angels of Satan, the Bible says. Angels are like posing to be, just like Satan came to the Garden of Eden, and he was like, he pretended to be an angel of light. And that's what these false prophets are, to destroy your soul. Satan knows he's going to hell, and these evil angels, and they want, the misery loves company, they want you to be there with them. The Lord's desire and purpose is to win your soul, and it's Satan's purpose to destroy your soul. So you have to take heed what you hear, take heed what you read, and kind of obey the Lord. To pay attention to him, because he paid full attention to you. Okay, now go ahead.
Why am I saying this? Because they interpret the scriptures differently. So when you keep on reading their tracts, it will definitely change you from good to bad.
They're not really making commentaries that are evil. That isn't just an inter. They know what they're doing. If they read the Bible, they can tell what the Bible says, but they're saying the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Okay, so then what else?
Surprisingly, I had your literature from a friend of mine, and I was feeling reluctant to read due to the above-mentioned explanation. So one day, something touched my heart to read it, and I tried to read it. It is then I got to know that not all the tracts are from the false prophets, but some come from the great, powerful men of God like you. Could you explain that a person who feels reluctant to read literature is now longing to get many of your tracts to read? I really know that God's anointing is upon you. May he bless you to discover what you have not discovered yet, so that we, the learners, may also know more about the living God. Well,
it isn't just head knowledge. You want to know Christ personally, to enjoy Christ in your spirit, and to allow Him to begin communing with you, and you to communicate with Him, and so that you know what He wants to do in you every day. He wants to do something in you every day, and so just you have to learn how to respond to His Spirit, because He is a Spirit and He's life, and you are a Spirit, as in a human body, and your spirit's going to go on. So you have to learn to live a spiritual life with your spiritual Father and with your spiritual Savior. Okay, then what?
Well, I should like to take this opportunity to request some of your literature, tapes, videos, and a Holy Bible from you in order for me to distribute it to my friends and school children who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and also for me to learn more about Christ Jesus. I hope by the grace of God my request will be granted.
Oh, the power of God definitely has granted your wish. It's the will of the Lord. Okay, and what else?
I would like to end here with much greetings from the Lord our God. May His peace be upon you. I hope to hear from you in a jiffy. Your friend in Christ, F.A. from Swidru, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. Some of these people in Africa we get some of the strongest letters that we've ever had from those Africans out there. Some people say, well, in the deepest, darkest jungle of Africa, what about those people out there? Those people are stronger Christians than most of the people that profess Christianity here in the United States. Amen?
Amen.
And in India, and in the Philippines, all over the world. In London, in Hong Kong, China, you know. Praise that we get letters from many places in the world. All right, now we're going into 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, King James Version.
Samuel anoints David as king over Israel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Verse 4, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? Verse 5, and he said, peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Translation, verse 1 through 5. Samuel anoints David as king over Israel. Finally the Lord said to Samuel, quote, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. Now fill your horn with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my new king. Unquote. Verse 2. But Samuel asked, quote, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Unquote. Quote, take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. Unquote. Verse 4. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed him. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the leaders of the town became afraid. Quote, what is wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? Unquote. Verse 5. Quote, yes, Samuel replied. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. unquote. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and sons and invited them as well. King James Version, verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Yeah, that's why the Muslims are so evil, because they say, you got to be black. That's looking at the outside of appearance, amen?
Amen.
And the white people say, no, you got to be whites. Black is sinful. Even the Bible says that black is sinful. You got to be white. And I'm sure the Chinese say, no, you got to be their color. And the Indians say, you got to be red, you know, the great white spirit. You know, the great spirit, you know, is red, you know. The Lord is a Jew. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you're not, the Lord does not look on the outside of what color you are, because we're all going to be gold colored in heaven, everybody. I don't care what color you are. All right? They say colored folk. Well, what color? Amen? Now, we're all the same. All of the Bible says that we all have the same blood. Amen?
Amen.
No, but the Bible says we all have to have the same spirit. We all have to have the same Lord. And he's not the Lord of just the whites or the Jews, but he's the Lord of everybody that comes unto him and believes the way he commands and allows him to work in them. All right, then what?
Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Verse 9.
And Samuel's saying, yeah, if he's just going by Lord, is this the one? And if the Spirit tells him no, he just rejects him. And next, you know, next, come on. And then here comes the next one. Okay, keep going. He's saying that he's just going to go with what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
No, well, this guy's tall, like this stumble-bum Saul. Head and shoulders taller than everybody else. You know? And he's just a stumble-bum. All right, then what else? And now we know the scriptures that David is almost a midget, and that's the one, you know? That's the one that had the heart to serve the Lord. Amen? Yeah. It's inside. That's what the Lord looks at. Okay, then what?
Verse 9, then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Verse 10, again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Little David the sheep herder. All right, praise the Lord.
Translation, verse 6 through 12. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, quote, surely this is the Lord's anointed, exclamation mark, unquote.
Even Samuel thought that, you know, because all humans have a tendency to look at what's the biggest. They always think biggest is the best. It's like when the Lord saved my soul, I started looking for a church, so I figured the Catholics was the biggest church, and so they got to be the best. I went there and found them to be big zero. Amen?
Yeah.
And then what?
Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, quote, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do, exclamation mark. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at a person's thoughts and intentions, their heart, unquote.
Amen. He sees it all.
He knows every thought, every intention, every unclean thing that you think of, everything. Okay, then what? He knows it all. You're like a piece of cellophane to him. Then what else?
Verse 8. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, quote, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen," unquote. Verse 9. Next Jesse summoned Shammah, but Samuel said, quote, "Neither is this the one the Lord has chosen," unquote. Verse 10. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse,
you notice the other ones are not even worthy of mentioning their names. That's how little they were to be voted for by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Or chosen by God. Then what?
But Samuel said to Jesse, quote, "The Lord has not chosen any of these," unquote. Verse 11. Then Samuel asked, quote, "Are these all the sons you have?" Unquote. Quote, "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the field watching the sheep." Unquote. Quote, "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." Unquote. Verse 12. So Jesse sent for him. He was ruddy and handsome with pleasant eyes. And the Lord said, quote, "This is the one. Anoint him." Unquote. King James Version, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
So you see, the Lord even sends evil spirits to people. So, you know, when people say it's Mother Nature doing all these disasters, and if a person, you know, sometimes the Lord sends some evil spirits too. It's scriptural. Okay, if people just keep denying the Lord like Saul did, he'll just let you be possessed with the devil. He tells us, he warns people, you'll be possessed with seven other devils, amen? Worse than the ones that were cast out of you. And you, God is not mocked. What he says is true, amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 15. And Saul's servants said unto him, "Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee." Verse 16. "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when this evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants, and said, "Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." Translation, verse 13 through 19. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the olive oil he had brought and poured it on David's head. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. David serves in Saul's court. Verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with deep depression and fear. Verse 15. Some of Saul's servants suggested a remedy. Quote, "It is clear that a spirit from God is tormenting you." Unquote. Verse 16, quote, "Let us find a good musician to play the harp for you whenever the tormenting spirit is bothering you, and the lamp music will quiet you, and you will soon be well again." Unquote. Verse 17, quote, "All right," Saul said, "find me someone who plays well and bring him here." Unquote. Verse 18, one of his servants said to Saul, quote, "The son of Jesse is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's brave and strong and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him." Unquote. Verse 19. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, quote, "Send me your son David, your shepherd," unquote. King James Version, verse 20. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. Verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. Verse 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." Verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Translation, verse 20 through 23. Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat and a donkey, loaded down with food and wine. Verse 21. So David went to Saul and served him. Saul liked David very much, and David became one of Saul's armor-bearers. Verse 22. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, asking, quote, "Please let David join my staff, for I'm very pleased with him," unquote. Verse 23. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away.
All right, that was the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. And now we've got some commentary. That was the 23 verses, and now commentary.
16, verse 1. Jesse the Bethlehemite was the grandson of Ruth and Boaz, and so was in the line of the covenant with Abraham. Ruth chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Bethlehem was about 10 miles from Ramah in the territory of Judah, thus bringing the monarchy into line with the prophecy in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, quote, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah," unquote. I have provided myself. Saul had been the people's choice. God would now give the people his choice, quote, "a man after his own heart," unquote. Chapter 13, verse 14. Saul was anointed commander or prince, chapter 9, verse 16, while David was to be anointed king. 16, verse 2. Take a heifer. The Lord is not authorizing a lie on the part of Samuel, but Samuel is indeed to offer sacrifice to the Lord and take the animal for the purpose. The full purpose of Samuel's journey is not disclosed to Saul. 16, verse 4, quote, "The elders," unquote, trembled, indicating that Samuel the prophet, the judge, the seer, retained significant power as a judge, as well as a priest, prophet, during the time of Saul's rejection and decline. 16, verse 12, quote, "Ruddy," unquote, may refer to his fair skin as well as his reddish hair. 16, verse 13, as in the case of Saul, the Spirit of the Lord accompanies the anointing by Samuel. From that moment, God begins to equip David and direct the details of his life, though it will be some years before he ascends the throne. David is about 15 years old at this time. This is the first of three anointings that David will experience. He is anointed king over Judah, 2 Samuel chapter 2, and over all Israel 7 years later.
The reason that you can figure that one out is because David was anointed king at 15 years old, and he died at 70. So there's, between the time that he was 15 and the time he was 30 was 15 years, and then he reigned 40 years and died. Okay, then what?
And that was 2 Samuel chapter 5. 16, verse 14. The distressing spirit from the Lord illustrates that in the absence of the Spirit of God, men are vulnerable to evil spirits. God is sovereign over all realms, physical and spiritual. However, unless we submit to him and his rule, we are no longer protected from evil and its destructive effects. It is in this sense that God is said to have sent the Spirit. Saul is not just suffering from a depressed mental state with periods of extreme anxiety. He is being driven by an evil spirit. 16 verse 16. David's music, because, quote, the Lord is with him, verse 18, has power to drive out the evil spirit. Harp or lyre, L-Y-R-E, is the earliest instrument mentioned in Scripture, Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. Already mentioned in connection with the prophets, chapter 10, verse 5, he had played an important part in the life of Israel. See 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, and 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. 16, verse 18, quote, man of war, unquote, does not mean he has already fought in a war, but that David has proven his courage, probably by his dealing with the lion and the bear. Chapter 17, verse 34 through 36. 16, verse 21. Saul loved him greatly because of David's natural attractiveness and because of the supernatural grace or power of the Holy Spirit in his life. 16, verse 23. Quote, Spirit from God, unquote. We can read about that in verse 14. 16, verse 1. Samuel was paralyzed by despair over Saul's failure, but God intervened and pointed Samuel toward a new venture. Saul had failed as king, but God had another man in mind for the job. It has been said that when the past is quarreling with the present, there can be no future. We all need to quit living in the past after we have learned the lessons from the past. There is a time for all of us to pack up the past and to pursue new assignments and purposes that the Lord has for us. Maturity involves letting God lead us, letting go of what was in the past or what we think is important today, so that we can take hold of what the Lord has for us today and let the Lord build a new life in and through us for the future. 16 verse 6 through 13. God's choice of the man who would succeed Saul undoubtedly surprised Samuel. God tells us how he judges the value of individuals, not the outside appearance, but the value inwardly of a person. It is not the physical gifts or strengths or beauty that make people great. God judges people by their, quote, thoughts and intents, unquote. It is not what we see that is important. It is who a person is inside. Most of us are not models of physical perfection, so it comes as a relief that God does not judge us this way. Saul had all the outside attributes of a physically perfect person, but as beautiful or handsome that he was, he failed. That was despite his extreme attractiveness, according to Scripture. God is concerned with our humility and obedience requirements for anyone who hopes to succeed in full maturity in faith.
Right, when a person dies, the spirit, right now, the spirit, your spirit, which is the real you, is living right in your chest area and somewhat in your diaphragm. And when you... When you go out, your mouth opens up and the spirit goes right out of your mouth. And it's in the same, it looks just like you. Only if you're saved, if you're regenerated, then you are going to be perfect in the kingdom of heaven. There's no imperfections whatsoever. And this is the real you. And so, you know, people shouldn't spend so much time dwelling on what their physical natural self or the container that you're in. It's like a guitar is the most important thing, and the case that it is carried in, or a violin is the important thing, but the case that it's carried in is, you know, something to carry it around in, but that isn't the most important thing. It's what's inside the case. Amen. And our human bodies are just a case for the real violin, the spirit. And so we have to remember that if we've know that we're saved, regenerated, well, then we're sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places, because we're glued there. That's where we sit. That's where we rest, is in Christ. And He is anointing us to know what He wants us to do, what He wants to do in us here on earth. It's somewhat, you know, Amy Simple McPherson likened it as a person that was in a diving bell suit and went down into the ocean, and then the people up above on the boat can talk to him while they're down there doing whatever they're doing in the water, clear down at the bottom of the ocean or something. And so the people on the boat would be as sort of like a type of God talking to them from above, and they're talking to Him from below. It's like a communication, a line of communication, the Spirit. And the Spirit is more real than we are, because the Spirit is what created everything. And God is the Spirit, and in order for Him to have the only... there's three parts to God. They're all one. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The only one that has an image is Christ, because Christ came into the world, and He looks exactly like a human. The Lord appeared before me after I'd been saved for about 3 years. I don't know, it was 2 to 3 years. And I thought, when I saw him, I would be very afraid. But when I saw Him, it was nothing to be feared at all. It was just like looking at you or me. Do I scare you when you look at it? Maybe if I covered my face up, I wouldn't. But the Lord is a very handsome, extremely handsome man. And when He looks at you, you know, His eyes tell you that He knows you better than anyone on the whole earth. He knows and He loves you if your heart is good. Your spirit is in the heart of your body. And your spirit is your heart, and that's what the Lord looks upon. That's the heart that the Lord is speaking about. And so he looks at your heart, and He knows what your heart intends to do. If you're seeking Him, He knows it. And if you're not seeking Him, He knows it. And if your mind is, or your heart is set upon something in this world, like lusting after something, He knows that. And that's like, if you are lusting after something in your heart, it's the same thing. Like if you're a man and you're lusting after somebody's wife, the Lord knows that, and you might as well have committed adultery with the woman, because the Bible, Jesus said so. If you so much as even lust after a woman is married to someone else. Amen? Just like a señora and a señorita. Señorita, you can, want to marry one of them, but not to just have fornication. But a woman, a married woman, you cannot lust after them whatsoever. And a female... has to be very careful. They can't be having lascivious thoughts or anything like that, because that's sin. Or if you're homosexuals or lesbians, if your thoughts are in that manner. So the Lord, that's your spirit lusting. The spirit of Satan is giving you the idea in your mind, and then your mind begins thinking about it, your carnal mind, and then you start lusting in your heart. So you start sinning, and the Lord knows it's sin. So it's first comes lust, then sin, then death. You can easily remember that by LSD. That's a drug that people take. Lust, sin, death. LSD. And if you're doing that, you're just destroying your own soul. So there is a fight going. You have to fight. There's not a war going in on you, but you have to, in order, when you're first saved, you have to fight
to get control over your mind, to have, let the Lord have the control over your mind. And you have to pull down, you have to learn to pull down thoughts and intentions and all these evil things with your mind, the Spirit of the Lord in your mind. So if you, the more of the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of God you've got in you, the more power you have of God in your mind to pull down evil thoughts and concupiscence and things like that. So think about these things. You're a spirit, and you can communicate with the Lord. He's the Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, according to His Word. And according to His Word, the devil can tell you, no, God wants you to, it's all right for you to do this or that. When the Lord, the Word, tells you that, no, you can't. So you can't go against God's Word, because He doesn't. He never go against His own Word. If He's telling you you could do this or that, and because your husband isn't the kind of husband that you like and stuff, so that gives you the right to lust after somebody else's husband or some other man. Once a woman is married, you're married. You don't have the right to look at any other man. That's adultery. Amen?
Amen.
And so you've got to keep yourself only unto Him. Because if you don't, then you're committing adultery on the Lord. Because the Lord, that's the commandment of the Lord, that you cannot commit adultery. Amen?
Amen.
So it's the Lord that you're sinning against, and you're sinning against your own soul. So meditate, you know, read the Word and see for yourself. Read it. Just, all you need is the Lord. All you need is the Spirit of God. Just read the Word of God and stay. I'll read a few Psalms every day. A little bit of Proverbs, and then pray to the Lord, asking what you're supposed to be reading today. That'll give you the power to stay at the throne, sitting with Him in heavenly places. So until chapter 17, I'm Tony Alamo, your pastor. And if I'm not your pastor, I want to be. So I hope you'll let me be your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Until chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, God bless you and praise the Lord.